Fabio Borges.
That's it. The only one. That's
welcome.
Me.
Welcome to Labors for Neighbors. I met you 10 years ago at the New York City Rescue Mission, correct?
That's it. Yes. There in New York City, a beautiful New York City. When I used to be the international correspondent right there in the beautiful New York City.
You are still young, but you were very young then, and you did a story on homelessness. And you and I hit it off a little bit because we have remained friends on Facebook. I have seen your interviews with the most famous people in the world. Mamacita, who gave you your work ethic growing up?
Well, I would say my father and my mother, yes. I come from a very humble origins. So basically my father, he's a carpenter. My mother is a school teacher.
You are from São
Paulo, Brazil. Yeah, I come from São Paulo, Brazil. But since I was a kid, my father taught me to be a hard worker. And my mother taught me to invest on education and to be curious about history, about life, about people, and always be gentle and always be nice and try to do the right thing. So I think they raised me really well. They are my idols.
You came across, and you come across in all your interviews as nice, nice, charming, and nice. And you get that from your parents, right?
Yes, I would say that it's a little bit as well from the Brazilian charm.
The Brazilian charm, did you say?
Yes, the Brazilian charm. Yes, because we are very friendly people, very friendly nation. So I would say that we are always smiling, always hugging. Not nowadays because of the situation, the COVID-19. Right. But yes. I've been always very outspoken since I was a boy, so that was very natural to become a...
Where did you get the media bug from?
Oh, so basically, when I was in high school, I did some minor on TI, Technology of Information, but I realized that it was not my cup of tea. I always like to write texts and talk to people. I have always been very communicative and talkative. So when I decided to apply for a college and to decide what kind of grade I would take, my teachers and my mother, they said, you should go and look for something related to communications. And I got my major in journalism.
In São Paulo?
In São Paulo, Brazil, yes.
When did you learn English? Because your English, of course, is great. When did you learn English?
Okay, so it's part of my adventures around the world. So basically, when I was 24 years old, I decided to travel to Australia to learn English. So basically, I didn't know anything about English. I just had the basic, enough just to ask for food or say thank you and goodbye. Hello, my name is Fabio. But I decided to go to Australia to study English, and there I met a bunch of people. I travel all over the country. Basically, I drove close to 16,000 kilometers, which is about 10,000 miles, all over the country. So it's when I learned English. Yes.
I'm 55. How old are you?
I'm 42.
So that was only 18 years ago. I met you 10 years ago. So you were eight years into your English. What percentage of your reports and interviews are in English versus Portuguese?
Well, basically, since I'm here in America, I'm based here in Los Angeles. So everything that I report, all my sources of information are in English. So I interview people in English. I read reports on English, and then when I put my stories together, I translate to Portuguese and I do my voiceover in Portuguese. And my audience, so they consume my material, my segments in Portuguese.
What percentage of your stories do you re-record and do the voiceover for?
Well, so basically, since I work for the news, so I need to do the voiceover. I need to tell what's going on and describe all of them. Yeah. So yes.
So you report it twice. You report it in English, right?
Yeah, in English basically is when I'm recording the material, when I'm filming, let me just put this clear. So I'm a reporter, I'm a producer, TV producer, and I'm a videographer. So if you remember, I was there at the mission in New York and I was with my own camera. So I'm basically one man TV. So everything when I'm in the process of getting the material, it's in English. But when I write my text and when I read that text for my audience, it's in Portuguese. And just to make it clear, I work for RedeTV in Brazil.
It's called,
yes, RedeTV, yes. We say RedeTV. So basically, it's an open channel right there in Brazil. We have a huge audience. It's we broadcast all over the country. So we have about 10 million viewers on TV and on social media. We have a huge following. On YouTube, for example, 10 million subscribers, another 10 million on Facebook. So it's a big deal. So it's my work. It's a lot of responsibility.
But I want to understand, I understand that you do the interview in English. Does that interview ever appear out there?
Yes, we have one of the layouts. Sometimes we just put the subtitles, right? And sometimes somebody else will dub that person. So if I interview you right now, Joel, when your interview, your soundbite goes on air, that would be in English, but somebody else will dub you. Or we will just put the subtitle.
What is the hardest story that you've done that immediately comes back to as something that maybe didn't scar you, but it haunts you a little bit?
Oh, that's easy to say. That was 2010, the earthquake in Haiti. So basically, I was deployed to Haiti, the country close by Dominican Republic. When the country was hit by one of the biggest earthquake in history. So just to give an example, 200,000 people died. And I was there for a week, and I just got there 2 weeks, 2 days after the quake. So what I saw, I was not prepared to see it. I believe that nobody is, corpses on the streets and completely chaos. And when I came back to New York, I used to work in New York. I had PTSD because I had nightmares. I couldn't eat well. So that took me a few months to recover and to understand, because in the middle of the night, I would just wake up scared of an earthquake. And I'm here in Los Angeles, and anytime we can have the big one.
How long were you in Haiti for that story?
I was there for, I would say, like 5 days or so. Yeah. By myself.
You have interviewed, and this is a better subject than Haiti, than the catastrophe in Haiti. You have interviewed virtually everyone that's famous in the world. Name two or three off the top of your head that you would like to interview that you haven't.
Wow. So, you know what? I would say Sylvester Stallone. Ooh. I've seen him a couple of times. And why? Because when I grew up watching his movies. I think he's pretty cool. So I would say Sylvester Stallone. I would like to interview Barack Obama. Ooh. I've been to press conferences with him. And so I had the chance to be in the same room with him, but never had the chance to sit one-on-one and talk to him. So I would say Barack Obama. I would say somebody that, you know what? You
those
know who
are too
I want
good.
To interview? I want to interview the guy, the scientist that discovers the COVID-19 cure. Yeah.
Oh, boy, you hit the
one that it's really for real. The one that says, yes, now we're ready to go. We're going to start to vaccinate people. So that's the one I want to interview and say, hey, you are my hero now. So that's it.
That is a good trifecta. Sylvester Stallone, Barack Obama, and the discoverer of the COVID-19 vaccination.
Yes. Just to show what I do, as I do hard news, I do entertainment. So pretty much I interview everybody. So I have interviewed presidents, athletes, actors from Hollywood, everybody, yeah, scientists.
What do you try to bring to the table? What do you try, what in your life, in your career, what are you trying to bring to the table, to the community, to the world, kind of, sort of?
Well, I believe I'm a kind of a messenger here, because I represent my company, I represent my nation here in America, so it works both ways. When I'm here, I'm trying to do my best to show how Brazilians are professional and lovely and friendly and to the American people. And on the other hand, I try to show my audience how Americans and how the rest of the world behave. And I would say that Americans, I've been living here for 11 years now. I'm married to an American. My wife is from Virginia, authentic American. So I would say that my work, it's like a window that goes both ways. The same way, it's an interchange of experiences and information. The same way that I bring to the table facts and stories from Brazil when I interview people, I try to do the same on the way back to Brazil. So, and of course, I never put my own opinions on my pieces. Mm. So, because I try always to be impartial, I don't take any sides. So that's, I do journalism in an old school way. So basically my audience is the one that will decide which way they will think and take their story. So everything, I always listen to both sides of the coin.
How do we multiply you times 1,000? Is there a possible way to do that? Can we multiply you? There's no way to do that, is there?
I believe that lots of journalists, they still do it. It's just different the way that we do journalism here in America and in Brazil. In Brazil, as I said, the journalist, he's not part of the story. He doesn't put his opinion on the piece. Here's a little bit different. Here, right. They have an ideology, but that's okay. It's just a different way to do it.
Are you a tiny bit famous in Brazil?
Well, I believe my mother watches me and my sister sometimes. I've been on air. I've been working as a journalist, Joe, for 24 years now.
Yeah.
So since 96, I've been working as a journalist. And I've been on air for the last 16 years. Yes. Almost every night in an open channel in Brazil. So I would say that people recognize me. Yes, they do when I go to Brazil. And it's nice. I get a lot of feedback from the audience. It's very nice. It's very important to keep myself on track and to do a decent and a good job.
Are you the top guy, kind of, sort of? It sounds like you may be the top guy from Brazil in the United States reporting about United States things for Brazil.
Well, so in Brazil, we have this union of journalists, this group. It's about 55,000 journalists. And every year they have these awards. So they pick the top 10. And for 2 years, they picked me as a top 10 international correspondent. So I think that says a lot. So it's 55,000 peers voting for me. So top 10, I would say top 10. Yes.
What does your last name mean? Does it mean something?
Borges. Yes. It comes from the long the Borgia.
From Italy? Is it the Italian Borgia?
It's a mix of Italians and the Spanish and then Portuguese right in there. Yes. But, and
does it have a meaning? Does it have a meaning or a town? Is there a town, Borges?
Oh, now you got me. Now you got me.
Because little, my name means something. It means little.
But you're great and grandioso. But you're grandioso.
Fabio, I'm not going to pronounce your last name. I'm going to spell it Borges, correct?
Perfect.
Yeah, Fabio, you've been a wonderful guest on Labors for Neighbors. Thank you for the labors that you did for the New York City Rescue Mission many years ago, for the labors that I keep seeing that you do for the United States and Brazil and parts between. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the invitation. Very nice to see you.
See you later.
See you.